Let's turn to the music of Reza Valley. He's a composer who is particularly well known in his area of Pittsburgh in the United States, but he's also known increasingly around the world. He comes originally from Iran. His music reflects that. He's in Australia for the first time. We'll talk to him in a moment, but let's listen to the opening of his Concerto for Persian Ney and Orchestra. Well, those are the opening minutes of the Concerto for Persian Ney and Orchestra, performed by Khosrow Soltani and the Boston Modern Orchestra Project, conducted by Gil Rose. It's music by Reza Valley, who is based, as I said, in Pittsburgh. He teaches composition at Carnegie Mellon University, and he's in our Melbourne studio. Reza, welcome to the music show.
Thank you. Good to hear from you and hear you, Andy.
Yes, it's nice to talk to you too after all these years. Let's talk about that piece that we've been listening to. I don't know whether I set it up properly, but if people were listening to it, particularly if they'd heard what I'd said, maybe they would have been saying to themselves, oh, well, this is the Persian bit and this is the Western bit. Is that crass to think of it in those terms?
No, it actually, the piece is completely based on the Persian system called Dastgah. Even the very atonal and very, very harsh prelude that you heard right at the beginning, they're all derived from the Dastgah system because I call it Dastgah Maqam system, the DM system, and which is a very vast system, and basically the composer can... it's for me, it's a very good way to create music that stays in the framework of the Persian aesthetic, while also it enables me to use, textures that are quite atonal, right? The beginning of the piece.
Yes, that's right. But it does. It sounds like a piece of quote unquote contemporary orchestral music at the beginning. And then, of course, as soon as the ney comes in a way, it changes everything. So is there a sort of balance, do you think, that you're trying to keep between traditional sounds from Iran and Western contemporary music?
Well, no, there is a story behind this concerto. It's called Toward That Endless Plain. That's the title of it, and is based on the content and the title of the work was inspired by a poem by 20th century Persian mystic poet, Sohrab Sepehri. He's known as the Rumi of the 20th century in Iran. And essentially, the concerto consists of a prelude and three movements, and it's played just through. That means there are no space between the movements. And the, throughout the concerto, the Solonet, according to the poem, it actually characterized the seeker, the dervish, or the, and the, while the orchestra embodied the environment of the seeker. And what you heard at the beginning is the prelude is called the abyss of human ego, the environment of fear, terror, violence, war. The music of the prelude is extremely harsh and dissonant. And you hear actually the sound of the sirens at the end of the prelude, which forebode an impending catastrophe. I wrote this after 9/11. And so the music starts from a very harsh, you know, environment of terror and violence. And the seeker basically decides that has to leave because the poem starts, it says, I must depart tonight. Taking a suitcase the size of my loneliness, I must go where the mythical trees are in sight toward that endless plain that always is calling me to itself. So essentially, the whole concerto is the way that the seeker is seeking the endless plane, which is the state of nirvana, essentially. And so when the movement, first movement comes in, the Solonet comes in, and it's playing in the somber mode of biota chord, which is a very somber mode, and it's really the sadness of looking at this, you know, environment of terror and war. And gradually, as the concerto moves, it moves to a higher degrees of consciousness, and it comes, the second movement is in called ecstatic dance, and is in the mode of Humayun. Humayun means majestic. And then in the third movement, it comes to the mode of Dashti, and essentially it's called descent and dissolve. And then the entire music at the end of the piece, you know, just it kind of dissolves into one note. So essentially, it's kind of a little bit of mystical background of this piece that relates to the 20th century poem of Sohrab Sepehri.
Yes. You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and I'm talking to the composer Reza Valli. Reza, let's go back to your beginnings as a musician in Iran at the Tehran Music Conservatory. Can you talk a little about the music education you had there?
Yes, I actually went to the Tehran Conservatory. There was two music schools in Tehran at the time. There was the National Conservatory, which was just for Persian music, for Iranian music, and then the Tehran Conservatory, which was just Western music. And I was educated Western music, basically Bach and Beethoven, just like everybody else. And then in early 70s, I went to Vienna. I was accepted at the Academy of Music in Vienna, and I studied music education and composition. And then after graduating from Vienna, I came to Pittsburgh to do my PhD in music theory and composition. After graduating in 1985, I worked for 3 years for University of Pittsburgh. I was the head of the electronic music studio and taught there. And then I was hired by Carnegie Mellon University in 1988. And since then, I have been there. I mean, I was lucky because University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon are back-to-back. Essentially, I just moved across the street instead of moving across the continent.
Well, you'd done quite a lot of moving prior to that, so I think you can take small steps now.
That's right.
But after your original training at the Tehran Music Conservatory, and you went off to Vienna, but the musical priorities changed radically, didn't they, in Iran?
Yeah. I mean, also for me, it changed a lot. I mean, in 80s, I basically was following as a student, and I was attracted by the European avant-garde. But then in 90s, I decided that European avant-garde was not my cup of coffee, and I actually started working with Persian folk music, and I was working with Persian folk music from my very early childhood. I, you know, from when I was 13 years old, I heard someone somewhere that in magazine I read that somebody, a Hungarian composer named Béla Bartók was collecting Hungarian folk music. I didn't know who Béla Bartók was really, but I thought the collection, the idea of collection really appealed to me. I started collecting folk music. And then I did not use those until later. When then I started using the folk music, I wrote sets of Persian folk songs, and these sets are numbered from number one, set number one, set number two, and so on. I have 16 of these sets, each containing between 4 to 8 songs. Totally, there are between 100, I have never counted, I think 150 songs. The last set, number 16, was a commission by Pittsburgh Symphony for voice and orchestra. But these are for voice and orchestra, or for voice and piano, or even without voice. But then I started, through studying folk music, I came to study Persian classical, traditional music, and virtually blew my mind. Mm. I started seriously studying Persian traditional music. Since I couldn't play an instrument, I invented my own instrument. I have a Persian keyboard that you can tune it to any tuning, and it plays that simulates orchestral, European orchestral instruments as well as Persian instruments. So it gave me a tremendous ability to study Persian music, and I did a kind of a shortcut to basically learn the Persian repertoire in fairly short time, like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And since 2000, basically, I completely left the Western system. I mean, I don't have expression for my music after 2000, but I would say they're post-Western.
Let's just pause for a moment. We're going to listen to an older piece now. We're going to listen to the piece which I think probably in this country is best known because of Laura Chislett's recording of it some time ago. And this is a piece from the 1980s called Simply Song, which is a sort of very neutral title for a piece which doesn't sound neutral in the least. It's a solo flute piece, but perhaps you could set it up for us. We're going to hear the first 3 minutes or so. Could you tell us a little about this piece, Rosa?
Yeah, the song was actually, I wrote it in 1987. This is my kind of thinking, this is my modernist period. It's very early period. I was just graduating. I wanted to write a piece, but you will see at the beginning of the piece, it uses a technique of simultaneously singing and playing, which opens the upper spectrum of the flute and create the sound of the flute very close, bring the sound of the flute very close to the ney. And you will hear that right at the beginning. And then essentially there's a kind of a conflict in this piece between the modernist aesthetic, which is a very angular, sound of the European modernist, and the kind of a very melismatic sound of the Persian aesthetic. And these two aesthetics constantly are in, conflict with each other, which reflects the conflict that I had really in late 80s, and which led for me to completely leave the modernist aesthetic.
Thank you. That's Laura Chislett playing the beginning of Song for Solo Flute by Reza Valli. And you're listening to The Music Show on RN, and I'm talking to the composer, Reza Valli. Reza, that piece now, I mean, even when listening to it, of course, I take what you say about it being to do with the European avant-garde, but it's also, you can hear, it seems to me, at least, that your background is not a European one. I mean, the Iranian accent is there in the music. I don't know whether you were aware of it.
Yes, I was actually, as I said, I was in a conflict, and you will see, you hear it in the piece, in Song, very, very clearly, that there's a conflict between the Persian, you know, side of me, and then the side that I was so attracted to, the European avant-garde. And at the end of this piece, this is a little bit kind of, how should I say, ironic, because at the end of the song, really the Iranian side takes over, and the piece ends, that the song ends with completely an Iranian, really, you know, kind of a melismatic sound. So the gradually throughout the song, the European side kind of moves away, and
yes,
it's just kind of chipped away.
Yes,
and this is really happened to me. I mean, this is ironic that this happened to me in my life. You know, the arts, you know, imitate the life. It really, the European side gradually chipped away from me, and starting from 2000, I decided that I really didn't want to use the European system anymore. And I, studying the Dastgah Maqam system, I realized that this is an incredibly vast system that you can, you know, do anything you want, really. And I started writing pieces that completely use the Dastgah Maqam system. I started a series of music pieces called Calligraphy. And Calligraphy, the name of it is because the Persian or the calligraphy or Middle Eastern calligraphy, it really has a polyphony of lines. And I was really fascinated. And by the way, you know, Persian music is polyphonic music. And there has been a lot of misunderstanding of this music, as well as, you know, music of other parts of the world. Persian music, both traditional music and folk music, are polyphonic. And I will bring this polyphony from the implicit kind of background and unconscious to the explicit form. And the Ney Concerto is my first, I mean, I did actually try this for basically a string, because string players can play microtones. And but the Ney Concerto was my first try to do a much larger piece and involve the entire Western Symphony Orchestra, while not actually moving out of the general framework of the Persian aesthetics. And using the, instead of in the concerto, instead of putting an exotic instrument on top of a Western orchestra, I turned the whole thing around. That means that the system is that the orchestra has to play in the system rather than the soloist. And by carefully designing, assigning it, like the microtones to the soloist and not to the entire orchestra, I was able to actually keep the entire Ney Concerto as the general framework of Persian aesthetics.
Reza, it's been really good to talk to you again. Thank you very much for coming on
the show. Thank you so much.
I know there's a concert of your music in Melbourne tonight. I'll give those details to our listeners in a moment.
Okay.
But we're going to listen to one of your, from the 10th set of folk songs, a song from Luristan.
Yes.
To finish with. Thanks very much, Reza.
Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you.
It's a song from Luristan, and it's put together by Reza Vali. It's from his 10th folk song set, and it's on a Naxos recording sung there by Yana Bhatti, the Boston Modern Orchestra Project, again conducted by Gil Rose. Now, I said there was a concert of Reza Vali's music in Melbourne tonight. It's not tonight, it's tomorrow night. And it's at the Methodist Ladies College, Flockhart Hall, at 7 o'clock. There's a number of pieces being performed by a number of performers. You'll get a whole sort of portrait of the composer Reza Vali tomorrow night at the Methodist Ladies College in Melbourne. You're listening to The Music Show on RN.